thought about saved to serve. And she's already serving. And I hope when she gets a little older, she'll continue to serve. And then when she becomes an adult, she'll continue to serve. And I trust all of us will understand that we've been saved to serve. You have your Bibles, Acts chapter 9. I want to speak to you this morning. I want to ask you a question. There's been a time in your life, I can't imagine anybody saying that hadn't been, but got to the point where you said, well, maybe some folks could, I couldn't, but got to the point in your life where you said, can God really use me? I mean, after all, I've done some things in the past. I'm sure you've done some things in the past, and that's not good things, but we ask the question, and I've had people oftentimes tell me, God can't use me. God won't use me, or God can't, because, and I said, well, listen, have you been saved? Have you had your sins forgiven? Oh, yeah. Well, I want to remind you, if you have, you can be used to the Lord. And so I want to tell you today a passage of Scripture. I want to begin chapter 9, the book of Acts, and I want to read verse 1 through 6, and then we'll read verse 10 through 22, and I'll read them quickly. But here we find a man that basically was not what you'd call the prime prospect to be used of God. But I can tell you, and you'll know before I get through today, he definitely became a man that was used of God in a mighty way, and he left us many things to encourage us along the way. The Bible said in verse 1, and Saul, yep, breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus. And suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth, and he heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. If you would, drop down to verse 10. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. I want you to understand there's two men right here that when God spoke, they responded. And when God speaks, we all ought to respond. Look at verse 11. And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the street, which is called Straight, and inquire the house of Judas of one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth. And he had seen a vision, a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hands on him that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I've heard by many that this man, how much evil he hath done to the saints at Jerusalem. Here he had the authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and the kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, has sent me, that thou mightest receive thy sight, and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith. He arose and was baptized. When he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus, and straightway he preached Christ in the synagogue, that he is the Son of God. But all that heard him were amazed and said, Is this not he that destroyed them which called on the name in Jerusalem and came hither for intent that he might bring them bound unto the chief priests? But Saul increased the more in strength and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is very Christ. Our Father, Lord, we thank you today for the opportunity, the privilege we have to come together. Father, I do pray now that you'd help me as I present the message this morning. Lord, I thank you for the Scripture. Thank you for the Word of God. And Lord, I ask now that you'd bless in a special way. Have your will and way. We'll thank you for what you do and what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, we ask and pray. Amen. I've often stood and often asked myself the question, can God use somebody like me? Friend, I want to show you that God uses things that seem to be, and people, by the way, that seem to be an impossibility or people that he could not use. But it's amazing, and I stand in amazement when I think about Saul, who we know later became Paul. But when I think about Saul and what he was doing, not only was he an evil man, but he was a man that persecuted Christians and wanted to do away with everything they had. In fact, we've got people today in the world that are trying to get rid of our religion, and they're doing everything they can to take it away from us, and I believe they're headed in that direction. But Saul of Tarsus was not a popular man among the Christians of Jerusalem or around the cities there. In fact, he was feared by the Christians. When they saw him coming, they ran the other way because they did not want to be persecuted by him. Saul of Tarsus did everything in his power to devastate Christianity. He did everything in his power to destroy the name of Jesus Christ. He did everything in his power to defeat those that believed in Jesus. He wanted to dismantle, he wanted to demolish the faith and the theology of those who believed in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the only Savior of the world. But in spite of his hatred for Christianity, God, in his grace, one day reached down and touched Saul and turned his life around. And in the scripture we just read, you didn't have to go far to find that he went from being a persecutor to being a preacher and declaring, "Thus saith the Lord." God used Paul to write 13 books of the New Testament, and I say 14 because I believe he wrote the book of Hebrews. God used Paul to preach the gospel on 3 continents. God used Paul as a missionary, an evangelist, a personal witness, a church planner, a pastor, a pioneer, a theologian, and a martyr. He has a pretty good resume, I guess, if he's looking for a place to preach. He has been faithful to God. Every conversion of anybody, whether it be you or me, is a miracle of the grace of God. God does not owe us anything. We owe him everything. But thank God today, he will save all of us by his marvelous grace. In Paul's case, God used this man in a mighty way. And friend, I tell you, there's nothing any greater than to see somebody that was bad. And again, I'm not emphasizing or pushing or saying that's what you need to do. But I tell you, when God reaches down and takes somebody that's gone the opposite way and turns them around and gets them headed in the right way, the people look around and they say this, "Oh, that has to be God. That's not him and that's not me. That's God that must be doing that." We find that Paul wrote his books 2,000 years ago, and every day, millions of people around the world read the words of the Apostle Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit of God. But we know that he is given to us what we have. The Bible said in Hebrews 11:4, "He being dead still speaks." I tell you, with some of us gone, we'll be forgotten in a short time. But I tell you, Paul was never forgotten, and he never will be forgotten because God has preserved his word. As they do in their challenge, we find they were fed, they were edified, and they were changed. We look at Paul, we may be tempted to think that he's some kind of supernatural saint, but let me tell you something, Paul was nothing more than just an old sinner saved by grace. We may believe God can't use us. We may feel inferior. We may feel unworthy to be used of God, but God can use anybody. And I want you to know, Paul, he dressed just like we do. He got up every morning and went his way just like we do. The difference was God touched his life, and God used him in a great way. When we get saved, we become God's possession. The Bible said we've been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in our body, which are his. We become his temple, according to 1 Corinthians 3:16. We are washed, we're sanctified, we're justified by the blood of Jesus Christ. We become a peculiar people, according to Titus 2:14. And the word peculiar means, it doesn't mean weird, although some of us may be a little weird. But what it means is we're peculiar. There's something different about our life. in the way we live and the way we act. And by the way, the world notices that difference when we're living for God and doing what He would have us to do. God saved us for His glory. And so today I want to take just a few minutes, if I can, and share with you how God can use someone like me or like you. And as we'll see, Paul had some obstacles that had to be overcome. And if you serve God, there's going to be some obstacles. I tell you, in over 40 years of ministry, I tell you, I'm not much. I couldn't get on the track and jump the hurdles there. But by the grace of God, I can overcome the obstacles that get in my way in serving God when He leads me along the way. And this morning, I want you to know, doesn't matter who you are, where you live, anything about you, God can use you. The first thing is, the reason is because God is greater, or grace is greater than our sin. According to Paul's own testimony, he was guilty of doing everything in his power to destroy Christianity. He said in Acts 22:4, "And I persecuted this way unto the death, binding and delivering into prison both men and women." He said in Acts 26:10, "Many of the saints did I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests, and when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them." In 1 Timothy 1:13, Paul tells us something about his past. He said, "Who was before a blasphemer, a persecutor, an injurious." Paul was a murderer. He was a rebel against the Lord Jesus. In fact, in 1 Timothy 1:15, he said, "I was the chief among sinners." And I would have to say that many of us may have a bad past, but I would venture to say that not many of us, and hopefully none of us, have the past that Paul did. He was a wicked man. As far as religion was concerned, Paul was a man to be envied by his stock. The Bible said in Philippians 3:5-6, he was circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law of Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. Yet he was lost when he was persecuting the church. He was in a lost state. In fact, he was what the Bible refers to as dead in your trespasses and sin. And I guess this is the thing that blows my mind the most when I stop and think about it. There was a man in the Bible that we all know was a godly man. He was a good man, and his name was Stephen. And I believe that we find from the scripture that Paul was instrumental in his death, in commanding that he be killed. In fact, he gives the indication that he gave approval for Stephen to be martyred. And not only that, but he said, "I'll guard his clothes for those while you're stoning that deacon to death." Saul of Tarsus was a wicked, wicked man. But I'm going to tell you something. His sin proved to be no obstacles compared to the grace of God. When God saved him, He changed him. And when God changed him, he set out in a new direction and headed in the right direction. And today, listen to me. I know today all of us look back and we know that we've got things in our past that bother us and we worry about. But friend, what you got to do is you got to confess your sin, get it under the blood of Jesus Christ, and understand that God, if He can use Saul who became Paul, He can use you for His honor and glory if you'll serve Him. When He saved our soul, we had a new birth. Somebody said there's three records of our past deeds. There's the record we carry in our minds. Friend, I want you to understand today, and not proud of any of my past, some of my past, and you might not be proud of some of yours, but understand, if it's been forgiven, God's taking care of it. But that record just remains. We carry it in our mind. I run into people all the time, "But preacher, you don't understand what I did." I don't have to understand what you did. I know all of us have done things that we should not have done, but we can be forgiven, and God can use us. There's a record carried by all those that knew us before we met Jesus. I remember when I got right with the Lord and started serving the Lord, the people that I ran with, hung around with, they were amazed. And I've told you many times, a lot of them said, "Well, you won't be long, you'll be back." Well, that was about 40-something years ago, and I hadn't come back yet, and don't tell them, but I'm not coming back, because they ought to know by now that I'm going to continue to serve God the best of my ability. So there's the record we carry in our mind. There's the record of those who knew us before we saved. But let me tell you, that can have an influence on them to see the change in your life, to know God is real. Friend, the only way God can be seen is through us. In the way we live, in the way we talk, in the way we serve, in the things we do. And then thirdly, there's a record carried by Satan. And he don't hesitate to throw up your past every chance he gets. God will open a door. Somebody will ask you to do something. And the devil said, you can't do that. You remember what you did? Friend, forget about it. If it's under the blood of Jesus Christ, it's been forgiven. God can use you. God in heaven has chosen not to remember our past. You may remember it in your mind, and your friends before you got saved may remember, and the devil may remember, but I'm going to tell you, you know what God said? I've forgiven you, and I've scattered your sins as far as the east is from the west, never to remember them against you anymore. I buried them in the depths of the sea. I tell you, there's some people can't get over some things, but I tell you, God just got over it and threw it behind his back. And he don't remember it. Throughout the Bible, God used people in spite of their great failures. Simon Peter preached the greatest message I believe ever preached. I believe he had one of the greatest ministries of anybody that ever lived. But Peter denied the Lord Jesus Christ. Moses was a murderer. You remember, he killed the Egyptian. Yet God used Moses for his glory. Samson sinned against God when he slew, but yet he slew more Philistines in the end of his life than he did in his entire ministry. Abraham lied, yet God used him. Jacob was a deceiver, yet God transformed him in great ways. There are many others could be named, but these are sufficient to show how God takes those. Not great people, not people that seems to be, you know, something special. He just takes common people that are surrendered to the will of God. Grace is greater than our sin. Grace is greater than our situation. Now, Paul was on his way to Damascus to arrest Christians. If you look at verses 1 and 2, you find that he had got a letter and it had been approved for him to go and get the Christians and put them in jail. But the Lord was able to change Saul of Tarsus and use him from persecuting Christians to literally becoming a Christian and influencing thousands of others to become Christian. My, what a ministry. But I'm going to tell you something. Somebody said, boy, I sure wish God worked the way he did back then. You see, God still works the same way he did back then. The problem is people aren't surrendered to him the way they were back then. You see, when you give your life to God, God can take you and do something with you. But I tell you, we're all hesitant. We're all busy. We live in a society that basically we don't have time. We love God, and you know, we want to do right as far as going to church and everything, but we don't have time to do anything extra for him. And so God said, well, if you can't surrender, I can't use you. He can use you if you surrender to him. The Bible is filled with proofs we bring certain liabilities to the table. Some today, I don't care who you are, you may have a wretched past. You may have a lack of education. You may have little resources. You may be weak in the faith. You may be a little timid or afraid. You may be weak and immature in the faith. You may be arrogant and filled with pride. You may be trapped in a situation that seems like it's unfit for God to use you. But the Lord is able in spite of any limitations that you have. God's not looking for qualifications. He's looking for availability so he can qualify you to do the job that is set before us. The Bible's filled with these proofs. Moses was 80 years old when he was called to ministry. I'll tell you, I'm 70. And Lord of mercy, I don't know. I don't think I got much time, a whole lot more time left. But I can tell you, 80 years old, Lord called him in the ministry. Moses had some problems, but he overcame them because he was surrendered. According to Exodus 4:10, he wasn't an eloquent speaker. In fact, he admitted that. In Exodus 4 and verse 1, he was filled with fear. In fact, in Exodus 4:13, he opposed the Lord's plan for his life. Yet in spite of all that baggage, in spite of all those things, God still used him. The present circumstances didn't catch the Lord by surprise. He knew everything about it. He knew it before it happened. The secret is being used to the Lord rests on two overriding principles. Romans 12, 1 and 2, we need to put into practice. He says, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your body as a living sacrifice. And that's exactly what Paul did. Holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And here it is, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. Friend, everybody's way is not always the right way. I used to say, Daddy, but everybody's doing it. He said, everybody but you. And as long as you're here, that's the way it's going to be. Boy, I thought he was off of it till I became a daddy. And I realized he was a very smart man. We must be faithful where we are. The Bible said in Matthew 25:23, his Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Friend, God's looking for somebody that's busy, somebody that's working, somebody that is willing to do whatever it takes to get the job done. If you'll yield to him, you can become a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. So grace is greater than our sin. Grace is greater than our situation, but grace is greater than our shortcomings. Look at verse 11. The Bible said, the Lord said to him, arise and go to the street, which is called Straight, and inquire at the house of Judas, one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth, and has seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in, putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. Now, I'm going to tell you one thing I like about serving the Lord. I like a lot of things, but one particular thing, if he's my boss, he tells me what to do. But you know what? He makes the arrangements before I get there. I'll tell you what we see is happening right here. He's already been there and took care of it. And here's this man, and he tells him, he said, now go into the street straight. There's a man there, and he's praying. He knows everything. And he's seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in, putting his hand on him that he might receive it. Now, Ananias was a little skeptical. He said, I've heard how evil he is. But there he hath authority from the chief priest to bind and call the name of the Lord. So he had to make a decision. Either I listen to the devil or either I do what God said. And thank the Lord, he did what God said. And he went to the man in order that he might help him. Christians in many churches today would fear Paul. Simeon feared him. Paul's conversion was seen by many as a trap designed to find them and their leaders and persecute them. And doesn't that seem reasonable? It seems like that would be an obvious thing. Here's a man, he's been doing all this. That'd be like us having somebody that had the same reputation he did walking in, and how would we receive him? I don't know. Now, what's his intentions? You see, consider the following verses. You see, he had characteristics that were unfavorable to his success. Consider the verses, 2 Corinthians 10:10, for his letters say they are weighty and powerful, but his presence is weak and his speech is contemptible. Boy, when I read about that, I tell you, I never dreamed that for 40 years that I would be able to stand behind a pulpit every Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and preach God's word. I tell you today, I know that there's many speak with much eloquence, and there's people way, way smarter than I'll ever be. But yet it doesn't sound like Paul was such a great speaker. He surely didn't appear bodily wise. We know he had health problems. He appeared weak. He said in 2 Corinthians 11:6, but though I be rude in speech, yet not in knowledge, but we've been truly made manifest among you in all things. He said, I may not can speak good, but I know the truth of the word of God. Galatians 4:13, you know how through infirmity of the flesh I preached the gospel unto you at first. Galatians 6:11, ye see how large a letter I've written unto you with mine own hand. Paul had many personal hurdles that he had to overcome. He had issues with his eyesight. He wasn't an eloquent speaker. when he talks about the way he looked, suggests he must have been repulsive in his physical appearance. I don't know what it means, and I don't know what he looked like, but basically he's trying to say that maybe he was ugly and would not appeal to people, and he didn't speak good. But friend, it doesn't make any difference whether you look good, and it doesn't matter how you speak as long as the power of God rests upon you. I think of Jonathan Edwards preaching this message, Sinners in the Hand of an Angry God. I hear and understand that he stood and he read in a monotone voice that message. That's what I've been told. And he read it. He read every word of it without much expression. But let me tell you something. The power of God fell to the point that I understand they said in the pews, literally, you could see people's fingerprints where they had held on, trying to keep from slipping off to a place called hell. Friend, only God can do that. I tell you today, when somebody walks in, we immediately judge them by their appearance. We judge them by their speaking. But I tell you, you don't know their heart, but God does. Many of us have personal characteristics we feel would hinder us. We view ourselves as a liability. But listen to this. I like it. In 1 Corinthians 1:27 through 29, but God. I tell you, anytime you get to a verse that said, but God, hang on. He said, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things that are mighty. And the base things of the world, and the things which are despised, hath God chosen, yea, and many things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. That's me. Foolish things of the world. I had nothing to give him, but he sure had a lot to give me. And gave me what I needed in my life. Those verses will not help your self-esteem, but they'll take the steam out of yourself. Time and again, the Bible proves this is true. We've already mentioned Moses. God took an 80-year-old man with speech impediment, used him as a spokesman for God. What irony. God used a young Jewish girl named Esther to save his people from slaughter. God used a young unknown boy named David. You remember David? Sure we do. And with his sling, he took down the giant, and God went on to use him in a mighty way. God used a beggar named Lazarus to preach each day to the rich man. God used 12 unknown men, his disciples, from various walks of life, fishermen, tax collectors, to set the world on fire for him. Even the Son of God had several strikes against him. Many believe Jesus was an illegitimate child of a Roman soldier. That's the word that was going around. In John 8:41, you do the deeds of your father. Then said they to him, we be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. They accused him of being born of fornication. Some view Jesus as being the only son of Mary and Joseph. In John 6:42, and they said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, I came down from heaven? Most believe God could not use anyone from Nazareth. John 1:46, and Nathanael said unto him, can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Others questioned the Lord's Galilean roots in John 7:41 and 42. Others said, this is the Christ. But some said, shall Christ come out of Galilee? Hath not the scripture said that Christ cometh of the seed of David and out of the town of Bethlehem where David was? Some even said Jesus was nothing more than a tool of Satan. But regardless of who you are, friend, God can use you. The kind of preachers and servants he uses, every single one, they may be weird, they may be different, and they may have a lot of things going against them, but God will use them. They'll put their trust in him. And then quickly, God, grace is greater than our sin, grace is greater than our situation, grace is greater than our shortcoming, but grace is greater than our setbacks. In 2 Corinthians 12:10, God was able to use Paul in spite of all of his physical infirmities. 2 Corinthians 17, therefore, that's what Paul said, I take great pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. But when I am weak, then am I strong. I'll tell you today, sometimes we have these little aches and pains, and I've had more this year than I've ever had before. But I tell you, I have to wake up every now and then and understand I don't have anything to complain about. God's been good to me. And then we may look today and somebody say, well, I have people all the time tell me, say, well, you know, you got all these problems. You better give it up. Give it up. Go home, sit down, and die. I mean, that's about what happens, right? But if God will use me, I want to be used. When he's done, he'll let me know. God often takes the weak. He empowers them by his grace and uses them in a great way for his glory. More, Hannah wanted a child. She turned to the Lord in desperation. God gave her a son. Daniel was a mere teenage boy when the Lord gave him strength to stand against the king of Babylon. Gideon was a man filled with fear, but God used Gideon to lead the nation of Israel in a great military victory. Mary was just a young teenage girl when God asked her to carry the Messiah in her virgin womb. Imagine the reproach under which she lived. Imagine the things that was said about her. But Mary was strong in the Lord and used what she had for his glory. Then you remember the unnamed girl that was Naaman's maid, and she pointed him to provide the cure for his leprosy. God specializes in using insignificant to accomplish his will. He used the cry of a little baby to bring peace to Abraham. He used the stick in the hand of Moses to part the Red Sea. He used a little boy named David who slung a little stone to remove a giant. He used a little piece of bread called manna to feed his people for 40 years. A little leather mantle to part the Jordan River for Elijah and Elisha. A little widow with a little meal and a little oil to take care of the man of God. A little jar of ointment in the hand of a little woman to honor the Lord as he neared the cross. The little girl named Mary to bring a little baby into the world who would grow up and die on an old rugged cross for you and I. Each of these situations, people believed God, confessed their sin, and God used them. Friend, the Bible is full not of people that had great ability, just full of people that had availability to be used to the Lord. And I'm going to tell you something today. I don't know where you stand. I don't know what you're going through. Some may be going through depression. There may be some kind of addictions. There may be loneliness. They may be feelings of inferiority, maybe memories of the past that haunt you. But I want you to know today, everybody in this building has got problems. But there's not a single one of us that cannot overcome those problems if we put our faith and trust in Christ. Can I be used of God? Sure you can. If God can use Saul, he can use you. Our Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day, the opportunity, the privilege we have to come together. And Lord, we thank you for the Word of God. Thank you, Lord, that we can be inspired when we see a man like Saul that you used in a mighty way. Lord, oh, to be used like Saul was used. Oh, to see people saved like he saw. Oh, to be a part of a great church where people were being saved all the time. Lord, we ask now your will be done. We pray if there's one here today that's lost, Lord, help them to come to Christ. How could they walk out of here not knowing whether they're going to heaven or not? Father, I pray that you'd help us as Christians to rededicate and redetermine in our life that we're going to serve you and be faithful to you. In Jesus' name, we ask and pray. Amen.